Amen. Thank you. Ellie? It is good to be in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
Always good here. This morning, we're going to look at having a divine identity, beginning with verse 25 of John chapter 7, as Gordon mentioned earlier. We're going to look at that and see those things. And as I was preparing this and thinking through this, I got to think about you. Have you ever thought of what it would be like to be someone else? You ever in your life thought, I wish I had that person's life, or I wish, you know, that person was good? I think we all have done that one time or another, especially as children, we've done that. I know when I was a child that I had a hero. So one of my heroes was Mighty Mouse. Y'all remember Mighty Mouse? I loved Mighty Mouse. But I got to thinking when I was a child, what if it wasn't Mighty Mouse? What if it was Mighty George? That's not me, though, is it? That's not me. Well, you know, but what if we think about, you know, what if somebody else? And I never really dreamed to be that. Well, I guess I probably did do some dreaming as a child, a young child. But I also, you know, get to think about, I love music. I love music. I love all kinds of music. I was grew up in the 60s, a teenager in the late 60s and early 70s, so Woodstock and that era following that. I love all kind of music. And so I got to thinking, what if? What if I were country music? Or even better yet, if I wasn't country music, what if I like music. I like all kinds of music. I could go on with that. I also, you know, I got to think about it. I love sports. I love all kinds of sports. Growing up, I played a lot of different sports, and at least in the neighborhoods and stuff. And I'm trying to think of an athlete that you would all recognize if I did the same thing. But I couldn't think of one in a particular sport. Right now, most of my sports is hunting and fishing. But I also got to think, but I love food. I love food. I love to cook. I love especially cooking outside. I love to cook. I love to talk about foods. What if I had my own TV show? Would it look something like this? But you know, none of those people are really me. They're not me. It's not who I am. I'm not any of those people or animals. Do you know who I am? I am me. I am who God created me to be. And that's what I want us to focus on. In fact, that slide, that very slide that you see right now is going to pop up several times during the message. I'm not going to cue you or anything, but as soon as you see that slide pop up, every time it pops up today, I want you to say it out loud. Let's practice. I want you to say it with me right now, okay? I am me. I am who God created me to be. Now, I'm not going to give you that prompt, and I'm not going to start you. Let's practice one time. Back up one slide for me, Charlene. Back to the Guy Fieri slide, okay? Now, when she advances it, I'm not going to prompt you. You just say it, okay? Go ahead, Charlene. Okay, so every time that pops up during the message, they got to pay attention today, okay? You got to pay attention. Every time it pops up, I want you to just start saying it. Don't wait for somebody else. You just jump in there and start saying it, and everybody follows along there, okay? Now, you have to stay awake today. So, wives, if he's one that likes to sleep, just elbow him when it's time. Now, don't trick him and elbow him when it's not there, thinking he's going to jump up and say, I am me. Wait till the slide pops up there, okay? But that's going to pop up several times today. I have a friend in Ohio who she worked for me in church, and her children are now grown adults. But when her children were growing up, she drove her children to school every day. She had one son and one daughter, and every morning before they got out of the car, my friend would tell each child that she loved him or her, and then she would say, "Remember today who you are and whose you are." And I just thought that was neat. And I had her tell me a little bit about why she did that. And she said, remember who you are. That was a reminder of the person that they had been raised to be. And their personal identity. I am. Remember who you are. Each one was a loved and cared for individual. And she wanted them to know that. The last thing she heard, they heard from her when they got out of the car in the morning. And then the second part of the statement, remember whose you are. this referred to two things. First, she would say that, saying, you are my child and your father's child. We have raised you with certain expectations and disciplines. Our expectations are for you to act within those disciplines. Don't forget to whom you belong and to who you represent. But she said, more importantly, I said that, whose you are. Remember whose you are, because I wanted them to remember that they're a child of the Heavenly Father. That they're a child of God. And this, her son and daughter knew this. And she said, I wanted them to know he's always looking down on you. He's with you in spirit. And his son is interceding for you continuously. You have Christ on your side. He has created you. And he's created you too this morning, every one of us. He's created us with a special divine identity. And that's what she was trying to instill in her children. Don't forget to whom you belong, what she's trying to say. Don't forget to whom you belong and to who you represent. You represent Christ. Okay, it's a little slow, but you'll catch on here. Remember who you are. I want to look at that for just a minute. Remember who you are. You have a unique identity. Every person in here, God's created you unique. There are over 7 billion people living on earth today, and you are one in 7 billion. In fact, you're greater than that because we've been told that there's about 7 billion people that have lived before us, and so you are greater than, you are unique as opposed to one in 14 billion people. And if there are 7 billion that live after us, you will be one in 21 billion people. You are that unique. There is no one like you. Never has been, never will be. You are that unique. You have a unique identity. Your identity will be determined by your actions. Every word that you say and every action that you take is predicated on what you believe in your heart. We talked about this before in another message, that you act out of what you believe. You say things from what you believe. It comes from your heart, what you truly believe in your heart. So how you act will determine not only your identity, but it will determine how people treat you, because it determines how they perceive you. How do you want people to see you? How do you want people to perceive you? You see, you have already created your identity and the way people perceive you. But is it the identity that you want? Well, better. That's good. Thank you. Remember whose you are. Whose you are. We are all God's special creation. Each person in this room today is a special work of art created by God Himself. And if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, there are certain expectations on you. In exchange for being a born-again believer, for what Christ did for you, in exchange, you have the opportunity for the blessings of joy in this life, and the promise of a home in heaven for all eternity. It is true that our family and the environment that we live in helps to mold who we are, but in the end, it is the choices that you and I make that determine our identity. You can have two brothers or three brothers growing up in the same household. They can be identical twins, they could be identical triplets, but that doesn't mean they're going to be the same when they grow up. So it's not just based on, they say, well, it's where you came from. Because you can have two brothers grow up. One could be a preacher and the other one a car thief. One could be a doctor and the other one be a factory worker. Nothing wrong with either one of those occupations. But it's that they grow up and they go separate ways. I'm one of five. I'm a preacher. I'm a minister. I'm the only one in my family that is. My youngest brother is second in line over... maintenance at one of the larger hospitals in Louisville. And so he oversees all the construction and a lot of different projects and things going on. I can't do what he does. He wouldn't dare do what I do. But my oldest brother was an airline mechanic, a helicopter mechanic. My youngest brother, crew chief, my second oldest brother is an auto mechanic. There's no way I could do what he can do with cars. Not just mechanic, but body too. And so we are all different. My sister was totally different, and she had unique giftedness in the things that she could do. We all grew up the same. It's not all about your family or where you grew up. It's the choices that you make determine who you are, determine your identity, the choices that you make. determine your identity. They also determine not only who you are, but they determine whose you are. The choices that you make will determine, are you going to be a child of the earth, following after the things of society, following after culture, following after the things of this world, or are you going to be a child of God, following after Christ? You see, the choices that you make determines your identity. So I want us to look at our scripture this morning to see our greatest example of divine identity. I forgot, I didn't have that one in my notes. I didn't have that one in there. Thank you. Let's look at scripture. I want you to stand with me in honor of reading God's word as we read our scripture. That was good, by the way. Y'all shocked me because I didn't have it down on mine. I missed that one. I gave it to Charlene and didn't have it there. Okay. Our scripture, beginning with verse 25, says, some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, isn't this the man they want to kill? Yet look, he's speaking publicly and they're saying nothing to him. Can it be true that the authorities know that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man comes from. When the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he comes from. Verse 28, as he was teaching in the temple complex, Jesus cried out, you know me and you know where I am from, yet I have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true. You don't know him. I know him because I am from him and he sent me. Father God, we thank you for this, the reading of your word. Pray that you would feed us on this, your word today. Feed us in such a way that we gain not only the strength, but the courage and the boldness to go out sharing with others, to living a greater Christ-filled life than we have ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. You may have a seat. Jesus is speaking in public. And apparently, it's fairly public knowledge that the religious leaders want to stop Jesus by killing him. They don't want to just quiet him. They don't just want to send him away. They want to kill him. And it's public knowledge, apparently, by what we see here because of our passage. It says, some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, isn't this the man they want to kill? Yet look, he's speaking publicly and they're saying nothing to him. Can it be true that the authorities know he is the Messiah? Jesus had established his identity. And here, his actions are certainly revealing his true identity. People are starting to question, could it be? Is it true? People around him who knew the intentions of the religious leaders were now questioning their leaders, their motives of the religious leaders, and struggling to grasp with Jesus' true identity. And that's why they say some of the things they say. Well, but we'll know. No one will know where he comes from. We know where he comes from. Folks, this is part of our learning process, part of the learning process in life. We all, you and I, must all struggle with the truth and the morals of life. This is what implants into our hearts and then solidifies our beliefs in our hearts. Remember, we act on our beliefs, and so what we listen to, we struggle, what we struggle with the truth and the morals of life. We must struggle first before we can act on it. You know that? You must struggle with something first before you can act on it. I don't know if that's right or not. That's what these people are going through right now. This is what we're seeing. Could it be? Jesus knew that Jesus knew not only who he was, he also knew whose he was. He knew to whom he belonged, where he came from. Several times in Scripture, Jesus says that he knew what to do by watching his Father or by watching the one who sent him. And that's what he says in our scripture here. He says, you know me, and you know where I am from, yet I have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true. Think of that. The one who sent me is true. He's saying, the one who sent me is true. What he's saying is, boom, in concrete, in stone, is true. It's the truth. It's not truth as I think it might be. It's it. This is it. The one who sent me is the God of all. It is. He is the truth. He says, you don't know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. We need to take a lesson from Jesus here. If you are a born-again Christian, you must look at Jesus and look to Jesus just as Jesus looked to the Father. See, Jesus said that he did not do anything without first watching to see where the Father was at work, to see what the Father was doing, to make sure he was staying in the Father's will. This is Jesus. This is God himself doing this. How's that going in your life right now? How are you trusting in God and following Jesus' example of turning to Jesus and turning to the Father before you make any decision? Even that extra donut you had this morning. Parents, we need to be modeling for our children right behavior, right attitudes, and godly decisions. As many of you are grandparents, we need to be modeling for our grandchildren those right behavior, attitudes, and godly decisions in all areas of our life. If we only do it on Sunday or things that pertain to church and we don't do it over here with what we do the rest of the week, we're giving them a message whether we know it or not. And it may not be the message we think we're sending. To do this, you and I need to be looking to Jesus and to the Heavenly Father. We need to be studying through His Word, trying to learn, trying to grasp, trying to read it, not just to read through it, but to feed on it, to take it in, to learn something new from it, to understand our Heavenly Father and the directions that He has for our life. As I've read in Ephesians, there, He has a calling. We've talked about that many times. He has a calling on our lives. We need to be studying and trusting His Word to base every decision that we make on His truth. What you watch on TV, what you buy at the store, where you spend your time and your money. Jesus said He did nothing without consulting the Father. Why? Well, because His Father would never lead Him to make a wrong decision, and because you see, God created you. Why not turn to the Father? We should always turn to the Father. Teenagers, children, students, young adults, you need to be watching your parents, watching older Christians that you're around and that you get to partake in things with, like church and Bible study. Your parents are not going to lead you wrong. They're not going to lead you astray. They're not going to lead you down a wrong path or hurtful path. And grandparents, we need to understand the same thing. We need to be the same. We know we're not going to do that. We need to help our grandchildren to understand that. Now, it may not be the path that those children want to take. It may not be the path that we would like to take at the moment. But we know as parents, we're truly looking out for their best interest. And as children, we didn't always believe that about our parents. But they were, and they still are, looking out for our best interest. But not only are parents, we each one need to be, not only teenagers, but everyone, we need to be developing our own identity in Christ. What is that identity in Christ? What is my identity in Christ? We've studied several things to help with that this past 15, 16 months. We've looked at your calling. We've looked at passions. We've looked at several different things where God has helped us. But we need to read and to study God's Word. And that's where we always took it back to. Read and study God's Word. The Bible. Memorize Scripture. I stand here today, and I was thinking about this past week or so as I was writing this, thinking about, you know, that's true. I stand here today because of faithful men and women in my church where I grew up in Louisville, and mentors that helped me, my Sunday school teachers, my discipleship teachers, my choir and youth leaders. Because they taught me to memorize Scripture. All the time I may not always wanted to do that, but I did it. And I know some Scripture today a little bit. I may not know as much as I should, but I know and remember it from those days. We need to develop our own identity in Christ. I couldn't develop my identity in Christ if I didn't have that foundation to fall back on, to look on, that built me up. And here's something for, there's not a couple of teenagers in here, but teenagers, young adults, everybody, really, if you do not have a study Bible, like a student study Bible or a study Bible for adults, if you do not have one, you need to save your money and buy one or ask for one for Christmas or your birthday. I know there are a lot of other interesting things that especially teenagers and kids like to have, but even adults we'd like to have. But there's nothing that will do as much good for you as a good study Bible. Do some research on one or ask some of the deacons or someone around here, what is a good study Bible to look for? Because you need a good study Bible. It will last you for many years, and it will comfort and strengthen you for all of life. and beyond. And so you need a good Bible and a good study Bible. We each one need to remember who we are and whose we are. We are created in Christ Jesus to walk in the ways of God that He prepared for us before we were born. Did you hear that? We are created in Christ Jesus to walk in the ways of God that He prepared for us, planned for us before we were even born. Over the past 15 months, we have been studying and learning about your identity in Christ, both as individuals and as a church, as God's body, the body of Christ here at Great Crossing. We have reiterated much of what you already knew, but we have also uncovered some things that you have not known or did not realize. God has created this church to be an individual, special work in this community. He has. That's why He plants a church in any community. And so He has planted this church. He's created this church and planted it right here to be an individual, special work to this community. And we have explored many options in the time that I've been here. And we've actually settled on three. And I say we because the Wednesday nights is when we've done most of this. Some we started back in last August and did a big part with on Sunday morning during our donut time before Sunday school. Where we were talking about church health while we were eating donuts, but that's okay. But we were looking at the strengths of the church. What has God already given us? That's the only thing we've got to work with. What are our strengths that we have to work with? And we went through that, and we spent several months on Wednesday nights, just 2 or 3 months, just looking at strength and what strength means. And biblical, everything we did, we backed up with the Bible. We looked at the Bible version of what that means and how are we to use that. And then we've been looking at what does that mean for us? If these are our strengths, what are the true needs in the community? Rather than for us to go out and tell the community what they needed, we went out and researched with the community, asking people in the community what they need, what they see the needs of. And we've settled on three. When I say we, I mean we, everyone in here. Because if you weren't here on Wednesday nights, that's not our fault. Okay? You have every opportunity, unless you work second shift and can't be here during work, you had the right and the opportunity to be able to be here, to be a part of those discussions. And by your not being here, you're saying, I agree with whatever the church body is saying we're going to do. So we have studied and we have went through quite a bit. Well, we've been doing this, probably working on this part of it since the end of the year, November or maybe January. And so we've settled on three. And I've stressed that a lot, as we, and help you to understand that, well, I wasn't there. I didn't do that. Yeah, you did. By your not being here, you still did it. You're part of it. You're part of this church body where God has planted you here to be there. And there are three areas that I'll mention this morning just to kind of give you, those of you who may not be aware of them. Three areas that we have believed that God has led us to serve this community. As individual members of this body, you must commit to serving in one or more of these areas. You say, well, ain't no man going to tell me I must commit. You must. If you're going to be a child of God, God says you don't just come in here and sit on Sunday mornings and that's the Christian life. No, that's not the Christian life, and His Bible talks against that, that is not living the Christian life. And so you must commit. We each must commit as individuals, members of this body, to commit, to serve, to in one or more of these areas. This is your identity in Christ, as we have come down and read through it. Now, the three that I'm speaking of are, number one, a partnership with Royal Springs Middle School, in particular with the Family Guidance Coordinator, Miss Carrie Apple, and her office there at the school. Now, Megan Obermeyer, one of our members, is also a teacher there, and I've spoken with her, and I didn't want to put pressure on her to do this, but she feels that she would be a good point person between the school and be a good liaison between the school and the church to help us there. Now, there are many things that you can do. You should be hearing about these in the future. We've mentioned some of them before, but there are many things that Carrie Apple needs, as that. What her office does is they work with children, especially children in need, there in the school. Then I was just amazed, and Eddie went with me, and Charlene went with me as we went and met with Miss Apple, at the number of things that she does and that she takes on. And they provide hygiene items for the students if they need it. They provide tennis shoes and clothing or whatever those students need. They provide a backpack with food to take home, and it's done discreetly so nobody's embarrassed about, oh, I got to go get my backpack. It's already in their locker on Friday, so there are people needed to help pack those backpacks. There are people needed to put those backpacks in the locker while the kids are in class so that when they leave school, it looks they're just like any of the other children. She needs people to just come and sit in her office and answer the phone or help hand out some of those things. If somebody comes in and needs toothpaste or needs deodorant or whatever they need to help do those things so that she can be more active in the lives of the children. And so there's a lot of things, whether you do it once a week, once a month, or whatever you can say, just every occasion I can do it, I'll call you and see what day I can work. Whatever that is, there are many things that can be done there to school. One of the things we're working on, we were hoping to try to do, the church wanted to do to help, was to put on a block party through her, whatever she needs, whether it's at the school or she's suggested maybe even a one particular neighborhood. And so put on a block party. We've got access to a block party trailer, if we can ever coordinate the calendar to get that. 100 other churches have access to it too, where we've got inflatables and grills and popcorn machines and snowball machines, and I don't remember what all is in there. But there's that we could use to help do that. So there's many ways that you can get involved just in the school alone. Please do not let these things fall through the cracks, because these are the opportunities that God has led us to as a church and shown us. These are right here in your back door. The second one is to work with Elizabeth Village, which is a women's with children shelter. And it's more than just a shelter. Elizabeth Village, again, we had two ladies, and I was very impressed with what all they do and how they do some of the things that they do. Elizabeth Village is right here in Georgetown, and it helps women get on their feet and become self-reliant, sustaining contributors to society. They teach them budgeting. They help them to get a job. They teach them how to live right, how to treat each other right, and do it's much more than just a shelter. And you have the opportunity to God just kind of planted that, just threw that one in our lap, and so it was amazing. And so you need to be, you know, that's one of the others that you can be involved with, and you'll be hearing more about how you can be involved with that. And then the third one is to assist law enforcement agencies in working with addicts and fighting the drug war in Scott County. This is the number one thing. As I talk to different police or different first responders and people around the state, this is the number one thing that I'm hearing. First thing I say, what could a church do to help you? What's your greatest need in the community? And they say the greatest need is to fight the drug war. And so these are the three areas that we feel God has led us to, doors that He's opened for us. God has opened these doors, and now it is time for us as a church, for you as a church. I'll be leaving. So, yeah, sure, you set us up, now you're leaving. It is time to walk through these doors, watch for the opportunities that God has provided and God will continue to bring through these open doors, and then you must walk through these doors and embrace the opportunities. Don't sit back and say, I don't want to do that one. Let's wait and let somebody else do it. See, that's what we're really good at in the church, and I'm talking about every church. I mean, you know, I work with churches all over the country, and I see this everywhere, is the pastors get up, or Gordon will get up, or somebody will get up and say, you know, here's what we need. This is what we need, and we need it right now. We need help in this area. I hope somebody does it. I'm tired of him getting up there saying that every week. And we need to say, you know what, I can do that. If Megan comes up and says, you know, we need 5 pies baked for something we're doing at school, for the guidance counselor, the family guidance counselor's coordinator's office. We need 5 pies baked by Wednesday. If you call and they've already got 10, you go ahead and bake a pie anyway. Megan, if you can't find a place for it, just call me. I'll come over and get it. But you need to jump in there. You don't need to do business as usual and sit back and wait for somebody else to do it or oh, I forgot about it. God has opened these doors. And too many churches, and this is where I spend a lot of my time, too many churches are falling deeper and deeper and deeper in decline and closing their doors because they refuse to walk through the open doors and embrace the opportunities that God puts in front of them. Do not let that happen at Great Crossing Baptist Church. Folks, if you do not walk through these doors, if you do not embrace these opportunities, I'm going to tell you right now, you're turning your back on God. I honestly believe that. If you do not walk through these doors and you do not capitalize on these opportunities God has given you, you are turning your back on God. Now, I'm not saying that to guilt you. God has led us to this. We went looking for that. What is it? What are the true needs in the community? God has led these and brought these to us. Jesus himself said, when you do this for one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. And he had listed like three or four things above. When did we see you? When did we hear you? Whenever you saw this, whenever you had the opportunity, you didn't take advantage of the opportunity. But just a few verses later, he also says, if you do not, or when you do not do these things for one of the least of these, you have done that unto me too. You have turned your back on me as well as that person in need. God has richly blessed Great Crossing Baptist Church for the last 233 years. And he is not finished yet. I believe your greatest days can still be ahead of you. You have some golden opportunities ahead of you. If you will run toward them and embrace them and take them on in the love of Christ. Folks, you are a special, one-of-a-kind work of art. Created by the God of all things. A special, unique work of art. Created by God with a divine identity. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and if there's nobody beside you, then look. Turn around behind you or tap the person on the shoulder in front of you. Turn to that person. I want you to say this, okay? I want you to say, you are special. Make sure everybody gets to say it. And say, you are special and you are beautiful. You are a real piece of art. Okay, there's some sarcasm going on there. Folks, God is an awesome God, and he has created you with this divine identity to serve him by serving others and showing others what God, who God is and what his kingdom is all about. Do you remember who you are? What are you going to do with that, with what God created you to be? As we close, I want you to take this out, though the normal three boxes are not there. There's a blank line there, and I'm going to give you the three that we had written out for today on this next step side. If you would just mark this, you can write any one of these in there that you want, or if you have time and can remember them as I read them. The first one is that you understand today, what you got out of today's message, what God is speaking to you about, is that you know who I am and whose I am. Or maybe to know who I am and whose I am. To know who I am and whose I am. The second one is to look, do you understand what your need today is? To look to Jesus as he looked to the Father. To look to Jesus as he looked to the Father in everything you do, in every decision you make. And the third is to continue to work in developing God's divine identity in you, in Christ, but of yours, in Christ. Develop God's divine identity in me. Perhaps you thought of something else, or God spoke to you about something else today, about what you can put in. You can write that on there. I'll pray for you. Pray through that today as I pray through all of them this week. Folks, God has created us with a true divine identity. It is ours to develop that, to use that to further his kingdom. Would you stand with me? We're going to enter into our invitation. This is God's invitation for you and for me to respond as he leads us. What is he leading you to? What does he need from you today? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this hour, for this moment. Father, that we can come together, we can read, we can study your word, we can look at it together, we can have fun, we can laugh and still learn. And we can reach to the depths of our hearts, even our souls, because your word is penetrating. And as your word has spoken to us today, penetrated our hearts, then I pray that you would, Lord, help us to respond. Give us that encouragement, whether it's to come and to kneel at the altar and pray, which we so desperately need, as we talked about last week with our nation, but our church, our community, our own, just praying for our own church's desire to get on fire for you, Lord, in doing those things. Father, you have spoken to each person here today. I'm convinced of that. I know that, as long as we've opened our hearts and minds to you. And so, may we respond in whatever way you're leading us to. There may be guests here for the first time or been here for months or even years that know they need to make that step out and come forward. Now, I'm not trying to pressure anyone into doing that, but Lord, if you have pressed that upon their hearts to do that today, then I pray they would come and share with me to join this family of believers. Father, there may be someone here today who has never accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. I'm really not even sure what that means. There's someone here today, Father, if they do not know where they're going to spend their eternity, then I pray that before they leave this building, they would make that effort to find out. And if they would come during this invitation, we'll pair them up with someone who can help them and pray with them and share with them scripture. Father, whatever it is, it may be that people here today that realize that I've not done something in this area of my life the way I should, and whatever area that is, as you've taught this morning, as you've opened those up and shared with them in their own heart, then I pray we would respond and get that right with you. Father, whatever it is, may we not leave here today with one heart being away from you, but all being drawn closer to you for being in your presence and the presence of other brothers and sisters in Christ this morning during this hour. Help us now to respond to you as you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.